From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Live from WGBB, 1240 AM, Long Island's oldest radio station, it's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air with the two oldest prophets talking.
We're just two young kids in love with Jesus, and we want to spread that love throughout the world, or at least throughout Long Island.
You know, Tony, I hope our listeners can forgive us for all of our silliness at times. You know, I think we really have to work on forgiveness today. What do you think?
Absolutely.
You know, and I came across something during the week, and it's a prayer. It's a prayer. It's Jesus saying, I thirst for you. And I'd like to use that as the format for this show as we go through that prayer. And we have two guests here today, Nick Zervic and Deacon Jock Filippo. Hey guys, why don't you say hello and just tell people a little bit about yourself.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Deacon.
I'm Deacon Jock Filippo from St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in West Hempstead, and I'll be one of the guests here with you for this morning show, and we just want to share whatever the Spirit would like us to share, whatever light the Spirit would like you to embrace or to understand this morning, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Nick?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Nick Zuvik. I'm from St. Catherine of Siena in Franklin Square. And I have to thank you very much for allowing me to come here. First time I could sit with both of you at the same time, which is very unusual.
I don't know how to tell you this. I have to leave.
And that was Dr. John Palmer, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo, and we're here to tell you that we do love Jesus. And by the way, John, I think I mentioned to you, tomorrow's first reading from Isaiah, Jesus is telling us, my water will quench your thirst.
Yeah. And that's what we're going to be focusing on. You know, I want to ask our listeners a big question, especially those who have turned their backs on the church. What would you do if you met Jesus face to face right now, today? What would you do? And what would you do if he told you, I thirst for you? You know, Trevor, why don't we just put on that song? What would you do? Let your imagination go a bit. What would you do if you met Jesus right now, during this hour?
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. That day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, one will my heart feel. Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in all of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you.
All right, listeners, let's get your imagination working. This whole prayer is based on Revelations 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Pretend now this is Jesus talking to you. It's true. I stand at the door of your heart day and night, even when you are not listening, even when you doubt it could be me. I am there. I await even the smallest sign of your response, even the least whispered invitation that will allow me to enter. And I want you to know that whenever you invite me, I do come always without fail. Silent and unseen I come, but with infinite power and love, and bring in the many gifts of my spirit. I come with my mercy, with my desire to forgive and heal you, and with a love for you beyond your comprehension, a love every bit as great as the love I have received from the Father, as much as the Father has loved me, I love you. I come longing to console you and give you strength to lift you up and bind all your wounds. I bring you my light to dispel your darkness and all your doubts. I come with my power that I might carry you and all of your burdens with my grace. Touch your heart and transform your life. And my peace I give to still your soul. Hey, listeners, what do you think? Hey, panelists, what do you think? Any response to that part of the prayer?
Can I start?
Absolutely.
John, love is Jesus' whole platform for us. Mm-hmm. He gave us two commandments in the New Bible. Just two. God gave us 10, but Jesus gave us two. And he said, love thy father. Love thy father with all your heart and all your soul. And love each other as I love you. And his whole ministry was based on love. Yeah. And isn't it true that our mission statement is that Jesus wants to be part of all our lives, every aspect of our lives?
Especially those with their backs turned to him.
And he's just waiting there for us to invite him to come into our lives.
How about our panelists? any comments?
Well, two things really came to mind as I'm listening to that prayer. And the words imagine and gifts. And I'll start with gifts. Mm-hmm. My father, God rest his soul, always said to me that if you don't use your gift that God gave you, you're committing a sin. I never understood that whatsoever. I said, Dad, I'm busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. And finally, you realize that everything that you do, everything, needs God and is because of God and is because of Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, even though you might not understand things, that's where your imagination comes into place. Because that's where he helps you to understand things and to look at things. When I make my crosses, mm-hmm. I build a cross. I don't know what it's going to look like, but with sincere honesty, I ask God, I talk to him like I'm talking to you. What should I do now, Lord? Does this look good over here? And maybe I don't get an answer. Then sometimes I'll talk to St. Joseph. He's a good guy. He knows carpentry really, really well. Right. But the important thing is that the conversation is a constant, open conversation, regardless of what the situation might be.
And Nick, I don't see a halo over your head. You're not a saint.
No.
I'm sure you've turned your back, as I have, as everyone has. And yet, he still talks to you, huh? He still talks to you. Deacon, how about you? Can we get a little bit out of you?
Well, as you read...
We pay big dollars, you know.
As you read these two passages, and what crossed my mind is, it reminded me of the reading... Gospel reading last Sunday, where Jesus spoke to us about the treasures buried in the field. He gave us those parables. One was a treasure in the field, and then the other one was the pearl of great price. Whereas in both instances, the person gave everything, first of all, to buy the field with that treasure, and then the person sold everything to buy that fine pearl. Because now that person had no need for anything else. But as I think about it now, he is giving us the pearl. He is the pearl of great price. He is the treasure buried in that field. And he's making it available to us. He's knocking. We don't even have to go and go far to look for it. He said, here I am. I want to be part of your life. I want to... fulfill you. I want to satisfy your thirst. I want to fill you with whatever you need. Meanwhile, we're busy all over the place searching for things that cannot complete us, that cannot fulfill us. So we have to do our best to realize that the grace that is given to us, he is coming to us without having to go seek for him. He's making himself available. Our creator, our redeemer, the one who made us from nothing.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. And I want to push on, because this prayer is so powerful. Listen to this next section, listeners, especially those with your backs turned. I know you through and through. I know everything about you. The very hairs of your head I have numbered. Nothing in your life is unimportant to me. I have followed you through the years, and I have always loved you, even in your wanderings. I know every one of your problems. I know your needs and your worries. And yes, I know all your sins. But I tell you again that I love you, not for what you have or haven't done. I love you for you, for the beauty and dignity my Father gave you by creating you in his own image. It's a dignity you have often forgotten, a beauty you have tarnished by sin, but I love you as you are. And I have shed my blood to win you back if you only ask me with faith. My grace will touch all the needs changing in your life, and I will give you the strength to free yourself from sin and all its destructive power. What do you think, guys? What do you think, listeners? He knows you inside out. Do you believe he can forgive even what you consider to be the most unforgivable, Tony?
Yes, and there was one sentence in there that was really outstanding. He says, and it's true to his form, but I love you as you are, and I have shed my blood to win you back. And I've often thought The story of Jesus is the greatest love story ever told for anyone.
And it's that personal.
And he loves us. He loves us. It doesn't matter what we are, who we are.
Or what we've done.
Or what we've done. He just wants us back.
That's right.
So come on, guys, gals. He wants us.
Yes, Tony, and as you've just said, again, there's in the middle of that reading just now, it says, it is a dignity you have often forgotten, a beauty you have tarnished by sin. He wants to remind us of who we are. All the things we're going through, that's not who we are. We are made in the image of God, as he said. We are lovable. We are love itself, just like Jesus is love. So he's trying to tell us, to remind us, to shed all these negativity, all the things, all the mud that are covering us, all the sins, and put them aside. He will come in and clean us up so we may shine as the light as we're created to be, a light for all to see, so that the others may follow as well.
And Nick, we know you're a cross maker. You're not here by accident. You're here to remind our listeners, every one of us has crosses. And when you make your cross, you do it in prayer. What did that little section think? Get anything out of it?
Yeah. The line, I will give you the strength. Just those words hit me like a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times when you're sitting there doing things, making crosses, maybe writing a story, anything that you do. You get lost and you're confused. And if you go back, at least this is what I do. If I stop and stop what I'm doing, think a little bit, and put God into my mind, into my heart, he really, it's hard to explain, but he really makes your mind and your heart and your hands start moving. And then at the end, you say, wow, because I could not do this by myself.
Yeah.
There is no way possible that I could do anything without Jesus.
It's that relationship with him.
That's the most critical
personal
part.
You know, Tony, I want to push on, though.
Go ahead.
Because the next section is for those who have really, really, really turned themselves away from God. I know what is in your heart. I know your loneliness and all your hurts, the rejections, the judgments, the humiliations. I carried it all before you, and I carried it all for you, so you might share my strength and my victory. I know especially your need for love, how you are thirsting to be loved and cherished. But how often have you thirsted in vain by seeking that love selfishly, striving to fill the emptiness inside of you with passing pleasures, with the even greater emptiness of sin? Do you thirst for lovelessness? Do you thirst for love? Come to me, all you who thirst. I will satisfy you and fill you. Do you thirst to be cherished? I cherish you more than you can imagine, to the point of dying on a cross. I thirst for you, yes. That's the only way to even begin to describe my love for you. I thirst for you. I thirst to love you and to be loved by you. That's how precious you are to me. I thirst for you. Come to me and I will fill your heart and heal your wounds. I will make you a new creation and give you peace, even in all your trials. I thirst for you. You must never doubt my mercy, my acceptance of you, my desire to forgive, my longing to bless you and live my life in you. I thirst for you. If you feel unimportant in the eyes of the world, that matters not at all to me. For me, there is no one any more important to the entire world than you. I thirst for you. Open to me. Come to me. Thirst for me. Give me your life and I will prove to you how important you are to me. Don't you realize that my Father already has a perfect plan to just transform your life? Beginning from this moment, listeners, trust in me. Ask me every day to enter. Take charge of your life, and I will. Promise you before my Father in heaven that I will work miracles in your life. Why would I do this? Because I thirst for you. All I ask of you is that you entrust yourself to me completely. And I'll do all the rest. Wow. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. God. How can you keep stand there with your back turned?
You know, John, I've been told more than once from people that when I talk to them about Jesus that, it, and they say, and I quote unquote, it's a little too late for me. I can't, it's too late. But here he's telling us, it's never too late. He wants you at any stage of your life. He thirsts for you. He wants you. He's begging for you.
He's calling you to reconciliation.
Yes, to reconciliation.
Let go.
It's never too late. Never, never, never.
Guys?
Well, I guess what we need to realize is that it's an act of grace. And it's a grace of God. It is nothing that we can do. We all know that how unworthy we are, undeserving, how miserable we can be, how miserable we are. However, with a little bit of faith and trust in Jesus, as you said, all I ask of you is that you entrust yourself to me completely. It's an act of surrendering ourselves, saying, yes, Lord, I know you know me well. I know that I'm a sinner, and I will continue to sin if it's not was for your grace. But I surrender myself to you. And with his grace, he will come in and he will transform us into what we could never imagine, the being that we were created to be, a being capable of loving, a being capable of extending himself and make this world a better place for all.
Nick, what about you?
This is the only reason why we must, and I do it on a daily basis, we must contemplate the beauty of the cross. Mm-hmm. Even though you look at the cross and you say, oh my goodness, this went on for years during those times, and it's an ugly thing, it's torture. But if you look deep inside, and you have to really contemplate on it, because if you don't contemplate, you'll never understand. So you have to contemplate the beauty, the love of the cross. And that's what is important to me.
Okay. And you know, we have a saint of the day. And the saint of the day is Saint Martha, a perfectionist. Mm. Hey, Tony.
Well, John, one of the reasons why I chose Saint Martha was, of course, Friday, July 29th, was her day, was her celebration of her day. But mainly, St. Martha's great glory and great admirations was her love and faith in Jesus. And she showed that love and from a strong statement to Jesus after her brother, Lazarus, died. And she asked Jesus to come, and she said very plainly and very straightly, if you were there, he would not have died. And that showed her faith.
She put Jesus to the fire, his feet to the
yes.
fire. Where were you?
Yes, but he came as soon as he heard. Martha was related. Her sister was Mary,
mm-hmm.
and her brother was Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a good relationship, and apparently they were good friends with Jesus. They knew each other, and they lived only maybe 2 miles away from... Jesus often came to the house for dinner. And, you know, another reason why I was sort of attracted to Martha was, again, because of the gospel reading, when Jesus... was out in the mountain, and there were 5,000 people, and they were worried about how they were going to feed, and Jesus, and they came up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they fed the whole 5,000 people, and that was only the male population. They didn't count the female, and they didn't count the children. Showed his hospitality for his followers and for his guests. Martha, when people came to the house, always showed her hospitality for her guest and did all the cooking. She was very active, and she always ran around and did things, but her sister Mary was a little more contemplative, and she sat next to Jesus and was, you know, honoring Jesus by sitting next to him and paying tribute to him. And so Mary, Martha at one point said to Jesus, "Can you tell her to come and help me? I'm running all over the place over here, you know?" And Jesus says, very simply, very lovingly, "Martha, Mary is doing the right thing. She's by my side." Hmm. And I know, and he knew that Martha was also doing the right thing by being hospitable. And so she's the patron saint of housewives. She's the patron saint of waitresses.
She's the patron saint of perfectionists. And I think of Martha as a head case, and I relate to her because I'm a head case. And I have to have everything under control, everything nailed down. Mm.
Yes, but in my eyes, this was the... Jesus is feeding those 5,000 people, and Martha's perfectionist and hospitality. She made sure that when people came to her house, that they were, she was hospitable. And doesn't Jesus make sure when we go to church, to his mass, that he's hospitable? He presents himself with his body and his blood as food for us. And so I equate her hospitality and her love for her guest with Jesus' hospitality and Jesus' love for his guest.
And you know, Tony, we can't forget Jesus raised their brother from the dead. And those of you who have your backs turned, it's almost the same thing. All of us, when we turn our backs, his love will raise you from the dead, whether you're a head case like Martha or me, or a heart case like Tony and Mary.
Well, you stole my thunder, but anyway, he did raise Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus also had, you know, he had two demeanors. He had a human demeanor and he had a divine demeanor.
Yeah.
But when he heard that Lazarus died, tears came to his eyes.
Yeah.
Because Lazarus was his friend and he loved him. And so nothing is impossible with Jesus.
That's right.
He rose Lazarus from the dead, out of the tomb. He said very plainly, "Lazarus, get up and come out." So in my mind, I picture Lazarus walking out with all the wrappings around him, and Mary and Martha knew that Jesus would be able to raise him from the dead.
And he'll raise any listener who's out in the final forest courts, way away from him. He'll raise you from the dead if you want. The second half of the prayer that we're going to follow throughout the day is on his mercy. And why don't we just see what you think about mercy. Do you believe in God's mercy?
Just let me add that with that, Jesus is calling every one of us to his resurrection.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, now you can go, John.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
So all right, you people who are out there who have your backs turned, I hope you haven't given up, because the reward is coming. And the next part of this prayer is Jesus telling you what he's going to do for you. What he's going to do for you. He says, even now I behold the place my Father has prepared for you in my kingdom. Remember, listeners, that you're a pilgrim in this life on a journey home. Sin can never satisfy you or bring the peace you seek. All that you have sought outside of me has only left you more empty. So do not cling to the things of this life. Above all, do not run from me when you fall. Come to me without delay. When you give me your sins, you give me the joy of being your Savior. There is nothing I cannot forgive and heal. So come now and unburden your souls. Hey guys, hey gals, are you ready for an altar call? Are you ready in your heart to make an altar call and ask for forgiveness? Take a few moments. Think about the offense that you think is the most unforgivable. Look at it. Feel it. Surrender the hurt to Jesus as a love offering. Choose to forgive. Ask Jesus to forgive those who have hurt you and the way you've hurt yourself. Ask Jesus, as forgiveness takes place, to not bring up the offense again. Have compassion for the one who hurt you, most of all yourself. Receive healing for your vulnerability. Go the extra mile. Bless those who hurt you. And here's the hard part, listeners. Bless yourself. Bless yourself. Forgive yourself. Have gratitude for the work that you accomplish as you return to Jesus. And then ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the hidden treasure that's in you in the event he has allowed you to experience it. You're being called back. You're being called back. The whole show is on reconciliation. Any comments, guys? I know I talk a lot, but go ahead.
You do talk a lot, but that's anyway. Right. There was an article which brought it to mind, and I just happened to have it in my papers from Staying Faithful Today, that says, keys to self-worth, dependence and involvement with others. Jesus, as well as others, are the real keys to achieving the correct sense of self-worth, a self-image that makes the heart sing. Didn't you just say that?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
And this is confirming. This is a confirmation of what that prayer is all about.
And you know, modern-day psychologists are trying to figure out how to make people feel good. How do you feel good? How do you feel good? That's what we want you to feel good. Well, you know, Jesus will make you feel good, but he's not a feel-good God. He gives you crosses.
Big time.
Big time, Nick, right?
Big time. But here's the key to that. Forgiveness. What is forgiveness, and what do you do to ask for forgiveness? What is confessing your sins? It's not sitting there telling you all the bad things you did. It's very simple. St. Peter said it. St. Peter called the people who rejected Jesus and asked them to change their minds about him, to recognize that he is indeed Lord and Christ. Just recognize that alone. Once you recognize that, everything that you do will fall into place. It might take a day, it might take a month, it might take a year, it might take a lifetime. But in the end, like John says, he will raise you up on the last day. Mm-hmm. And that is always the most important thing on our minds, because this life is very short.
Mm-hmm. Supposing today were the last day?
I'd say...
Well, you don't want to be left out in the cold.
Not with this heat.
Deacon?
Well, basically what we need to realize now is we've been seeking solution in all the wrong places. The solution to all our ills is Jesus Christ. And if you go back into the book of the gospel, in scripture, you see what's in the heart of that. For instance, you see how he reacted when the woman who was caught in adultery was brought up to him. You see what he said to the good thief who was dying on the cross when the thief said, "Remember me, Lord." And he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." All these were acts of forgiveness. See, we got to walk his way. And his way begins with forgiveness, love. Those two must walk together. So that's what we have. We have to come to Jesus, as we just heard from Dr. Palmer. It is Jesus who is going to give us all the things that we need, the peace that we need, the love that we need, the good life that we'd like. It's Jesus, so we have to turn back. And as we heard, we are not to be afraid to turn back because his arms are always open. As we heard from the beginning, he thirsts for us. So all we have to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. I've come to you with all my sin and with all my faults," and he will do the rest.
You know what comes to my mind? This is kind of silly, and I'm sorry, but it's going to be silly. How we sabotage ourselves in our walk with God. And I'm thinking of the perfectionist who was being sent to the place where he's going to have his head chopped off. And he has two people in front of him. And the first person puts his head down. And down comes the blade. And it stops just short of his neck. And he runs off scot-free. And then the second one comes in, puts his head in. Same thing, comes down and the blade stops just short of his neck. The third guy, the perfectionist, the one who likes to sabotage himself, just put his head down, he looks up and he says to the executioner, "Do you know there's a knot in the rope up there?"
That's silly, but we forgive you.
But that's how we sabotage ourselves. "You can't forgive me, Jesus. Don't you see the knot in the rope?" And it's that knot in the rope that we're trying to get rid of. So you can lose your head for Jesus. That's where I come from. I may be silly, but that's where I come from.
That's very good, John. I'm so proud of you.
Well, I don't know, guys, where we're going with this, but I'm sorry again. Let's finish the prayer. No matter how far you may wander, no matter how often you forget me, no matter how many crosses you may bear in this life, there's one thing I want you to always remember. One thing that will never change. I thirst for you just as you are. You don't need to change to believe in my love, for it will be your belief in my love that will change you. You forget me, and yet I am seeking you every moment of the day, standing at the door to your heart and knocking. Do you find that hard to believe? Then look at the cross. Look at my heart that was pierced for you. Have you not understood my cross? Then listen again to the words I spoke there, for they tell you clearly why I endured all this just for you, listeners. I thirst. Yes, I thirst for you, as the rest of the psalm verse I was praying says of me. I looked for love and I found none. All your life I have been looking for your love. I have never stopped seeking to love you and to be loved by you. You have tried many other things in your search for forgiveness. Why not try opening your heart to me right now? More than you've ever done before, whenever you do, open the door of your heart. Whenever you come close enough, you will hear me say to you again and again, not in mere human words, but in spirit, no matter what you have done, I love you for your sake. Come to me with your misery and your sins, with your troubles and needs, and with all your longing to be loved, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Open to me, for I thirst for you. Wow. Wow, listeners. Wow. You've been talking, been getting a good talking to from Jesus.
And this is no accident that this prayer came into your hands just recently.
Yeah.
And I say again, it confirms tomorrow's first reading when Jesus is saying through Isaiah, I thirst for you.
Guys?
And something quite interesting, if you were to go back to the 14th Sunday, you'll find that the gospel reading parallels the first to Moses' first reading, where Jesus said,
exactly,
if you have burden, come and I'll give you rest.
Right.
And he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So he's telling us where to go to find solution for all that we need, because he is waiting. Come, you thirst, I'll give you water. Come without money. You don't have to pay. It doesn't cost anything. Isn't not that unbelievable? That the most important thing in life costs nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's for free.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas we're so busy all over the place, spending money, billions, trillions of dollars, and always unsatisfied, always unfulfilled. Now Jesus is telling us where to find that fulfillment. It is only can be found in him.
And it's such a simple statement.
Simple statement.
Come to me.
Yes.
That was excellent, Deacon.
That's interesting, because I'm sitting here looking at a couple of things I've been writing as we're talking. And my whole life is really based upon crosses.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why it just happened that way. But it's interesting, you said, Deacon, each time I create and design a cross, I do it with inspiration and I do it with prayers. The inspiration being the Holy Spirit. And prayers that acknowledge, underline, acknowledge Christ with gratitude for allowing me this gift. If we open up our hearts to Jesus, and it doesn't have to be in a fanatical way where you go on a street corner and start singing and yelling, but deep down inside, once you accept that gift that he gave you, whatever the gift might be, he is going to open things up for you. But he'll only give you enough for you to handle. There's days where he gives you a lot more, where you get all crazy. But it's important that you just keep that in mind. And your heart will take you to places I experienced, which we don't even have time today to talk about. That will just blow your mind away. So just really believe inside.
Nick, your crosses are very inspirational. I haven't seen a person that has seen your cross that wasn't inspired and who hasn't ordered a cross from you. Can you give your website where people can see your work, your crosses, on the webs?
Absolutely. You can go to Cross to Bear. I'll spell that for you. Cross, C-R-O-S-S, the number 2, Bear, B-A-R-E, .com. And I'll tell you how I got the name, John.
Okay.
Dear friend of mine who is also Catholic but is on the road, said to me, Nick, he goes, everybody has a cross to bear, just like you said. And that's why the website was named that. So look on the website. You can see what our mission statement is. Matter of fact, it's very important to know that, and guys, you might be shocked when you hear this, but when I do sell crosses, a portion of the donations go to the seminary in Huntington.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a radio show called Listen Up. Jesus is on the air, because we need to promote Christ. We need to promote our faith. And unfortunately, sometimes we need money to do that. So I'm doing my part.
Now that we know that, can you give us that website again?
That's crossedtobear.com.
And that's, you know, very, very generous of you, Nick. Thank you. Thank you.
When I was a little kid, this is another silly thing. I kept on...
Well, forgive you.
Thank you. I kept on wondering, what was Jesus... Why would he talk about a bear in his readings? Because he kept on talking about a cross-eyed bear. And
And I got it all wrong. It was cross-eyed bear.
Silly. Yes, you did.
Yes, you did. And we forgive you.
Well, you know, we've been so serious. I think we need a laugh every now and then. And that's the other thing for those who have their backs turned. Jesus loves a laugh.
Yes,
why do you think he put the cross-eyed bear in my head? He wants us to laugh a bit, too, and to enjoy his forgiveness and his prayer. Any closing comments from you guys? We're going to go into healing in a couple of moments.
Okay. Well, my comment on the prayer was that this was a wonderful selection, and it came from you, Dr. Palmer.
Came from
and
God.
That came from Jesus, yes.
It and wasn't what we planned for today.
No, not at all. We spent hours yesterday planning today's show. But it all tied in, and it all made sense. And I hope that it touched everyone's hearts out there.
Well, what I'd like to add is that we need to realize that whatever we have, whatever we would receive in the future, is a grace from God. Hmm. And what we need to do is turn to God and trust in his grace. And then we live in a world where people seem to be a lot of lack of resources. We have people hungry, people dying from lack of drinkable water, so many things happening. But it's all because we have not turned to Christ. Because it is Christ. It is through his grace all these things become possible. What seems to be lacking, all of a sudden, as Dr. Anthony mentioned before, where he fed the 5,000, how was that possible? It was because of God's grace. So that's what we need to take to heart. God's grace. With God's grace, all things are possible.
Absolutely.
Nick, a closing comment?
Very simple. Your focus should simply be contemplate Christ. And let Christ do the rest of the work. Just contemplate Christ.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Do we have time for announcements before we do the prayers?
I want to do the prayers first.
Okay, go ahead.
Because I think we want to pray for every listener whose back is turned or even halfway turned away from God for the gift of forgiveness. The gift of forgiveness. And we have all of our petitions here as well. And Jesus, we ask you, we thank you first of all for the opportunity of sharing the prayer from the missionaries who were in Mexico and the prayer that has the imprimatur of the Catholic Church. We thank you, Lord, for pointing out to us that you thirst for us and for every listener. And listen as we ask you now, whatever is at the center of your heart right now that you can't get rid of, that you don't even want Jesus to know about, in your heart, say, Jesus, I want to talk to you about this. He already knows what you want to talk about, but he wants you to verbalize your repentance. He wants to give every listener the gift of forgiveness of self. We can forgive others, but the person we have the most trouble forgiving is ourselves. And Jesus is saying now, I do not care what you've done. I don't care how cold your heart may be. I don't care where your soul is. Turn back to me. Come back. I thirst for you. I want you. I want your heart. I want your soul. I want your mind. I will give you that gift of my forgiveness of self and forgiveness of others, so that you can feel my love and my peace in your heart. My friends, I'm alive in you right now. And if you listen with your heart, you will hear me say, I love you. I forgive you. I thirst for you. I want you to walk with me 24/7. I know you'll fall, and I'll come and pick you up. Think of Peter on the water
walking on water and then starting to think and falls underneath. That's you. That's every one of us. So I tell you now, you are my friends. And I'm the best friend you will ever have. And I know many of you say, how do I know? How do I know? I will let you know. I tell you now, don't knock forgiveness from me unless you try it. Don't hide under the bushel of lies that bury you alive. Come out. Come in the open. Come to me. I have the waters of salvation, and I will share it with you profusely, abundantly. Oh, my friends, how much I love you. If you only knew. Look at the cross. See how much I love you. Look at the cross. I did that just for you. Come, my friends. Come, my friends, walk with me for a while. I know the desert of life may be parched, and you may be thirsting for anything just to survive. Come to me. I will satisfy your thirst. I will give you the love you need. Whatever religion you are, Catholic, come to confession. Jewish, do Yom Kippur ahead of time. Protestant, go to Scripture and look for my forgiveness. I'm here. I'm here. And I thirst for you. And we pray for all those who have submitted petitions. And we ask you, Lord, bless them. And thanksgiving for young David. Tell them about David, Tony.
Young David is a six-year-old boy. And we've been praying for him since day one, January 8th. And he's had cancer and reoccurring. And every time it reoccurs, there's another operation and another part of him is taken out. And it reoccurred again several weeks ago in his rib. And he said that the CAT scan lit up like a Christmas tree, so they had to take another rib out. And when they took the rib out, and they sent it to the lab, and it came back 100% completely clean and clear of cancer.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now they just came out with a cure. This cancer that attacks young children, the children don't live past 19. But they came out with a cure that is very promising. And he's sixth on the list to get that medicine.
Wonderful.
And we praise Jesus. And his mother was so happy, so thrilled. That I can't even explain it. But thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. We'd like to close the show with a song by Celine Dion, believe it or not, where she says, that's the way it is. And if you want to make it, you got to plug through everything day after day. Go ahead.
And next week, by the way, we'll be at St. Catherine of Siena at the Prayer Center. We'll have a real live audience of over 60 people, and I hope you join us.
Listen to these words. We'll see you next week, folks.
And thank
you, Deacon. Thank you.
Thank you. And we thank Jesus.
Amen.
Is Jesus.